place to be a pipe. So we have we don't have our infrastructure is not falling down around our ears or breaking constantly. So we absolutely have what we call funding gaps. We have a plan that our asset management plan actually goes out almost 50 years and says, here's what we need to be doing over these next several decades.
And is that included in the projected rate until 2020, for example?
It's in our 5-year financial plan. We haven't gone beyond that in any way, shape, or form.
If I could get the information by next week, that would be very helpful.
We will do that.
But to be clear, this is stuff that I've had the Water Bureau, at my request, bring to council since I've had the Water Bureau. We had an asset management plan this year. We've had a number of hearings on a number of subjects. We'll have more. And it's complicated stuff, but we have been providing this information in a number of venues.
Right. It would just be helpful to have it all assembled for the budget.
Right? We can do that.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Okay. So, again, today is not a vote on the rates. Today is first reading. So, is there any other discussion on water rates? All right. Then we are going to move to some folks that have been waiting a very long time, and that is the revised solid waste and recycling collection rates. We do come back to the issue of what goes in the approved budget for water sewer and my request for cuts, additional cuts.
But Mayor, can I join them at the table?
Oh, for water PERB? Sewer? Absolutely. PERB does.
Solid waste, yeah.
Absolutely. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, Commissioner. I'm Bruce Walker. I'm the Solid Waste and Recycling Program Manager for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here to briefly just recap the rate process and the recommendation before you. We conduct an annual rate review of the services provided by franchise garbage haulers to residential customers. We are proposing a 2.3% rate increase. Here comes the handout.
We have to read the title.
Oh,
that's right.
My apologies.
No good background information.
I'm sorry.
$4.67. Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective July 1, 2011.
Thank you. So our rate is, I'll use as a the most common service we have in the city of Portland is a 32-gallon can that's picked up weekly. The monthly charge is proposed to increase by 60 cents per month, and the primary reasons for it are, not surprisingly, fuel. Increased fuel that the haulers are going to be paying, and there are also disposal garbage. The disposal of garbage is going to be increasing at Metro transfer stations. Offsetting some of those are the primary rate drivers, if you will. Offsetting that somewhat is hauler efficiencies that they've had over the past year, and improving recycling markets that provide greater revenues that are collected from the blue carts. So that's the good news. It dampened some of the rate increase. These are our proposals. We've done extensive analysis. It's been a fairly rushed or late developing rate. We just finished this up last week, and I know that John from PERB wants to touch on that, but I'm just giving you a brief synopsis. I know this has been a very long.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Yeah. I'm coming to tell you that because it developed so late, PERB met the first, we moved our meeting to the first week of May so we could vote on the issues that were before us, LT2 and those kind of things. And Solid Waste was there. They brought us all the information they had right then. It wasn't a final proposal, so we didn't vote on it. Obviously, in the future, we're interested in solid waste rates, and we've talked to you about it at our work session earlier this year, even going farther. So we don't really have a proposal for you on it, but we're briefed on it, and we're...
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one brief question.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
And that is, it's interesting that the weekly collection goes up 60 cents, but the monthly collection goes up 45 cents. So if this is a lot to do with fuel, which I think most of us could understand that it is to do with fuel costs, if you're only doing one pickup a month rather than four, why would the difference not be proportional?
There's a couple that's a good question, Commissioner. There are a couple factors that go into it because there are multiple collections that the haulers provide. So it's not just the garbage that's getting collected, but it's also
weekly recycling.
Yeah, the weekly recycling and the every other week yard debris. So the fuel costs are still substantial, and the disposal, there's slightly more garbage in a monthly customer's can, if you will. So there's a higher disposal component.
Thank you.
All right. Does anyone?
Just one question. The market for recyclables is improving now?
It is improving. Okay. So that's a very positive sign there. And it's reflected in the rates.
I apologize. I got to move us along.
Yes.
But I don't want any council discussion on any topic not raised thus far. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
All right. Then moves to a second reading. Can you please read the title for first reading non-emergency ordinance 504? We'll come back.
504, amend fee schedules for building, electrical,
mechanical,
plumbing,
apologize.
Facility permit, field issuance, remodel, land use services, neighborhood inspections, noise control, signs, site development, zoning, and certain construction permits.
We will, as folks assemble, and I will turn to Commissioner Saltzman here in a second, we will, for program notes, unless council chooses otherwise, we will, Bureau of Financial Planning, I think, is having their final conversations with council and Bureau staff on the 1% reduction. So from here, we'll start at 492 and work our way through the regular agenda items we have not yet done. And when they're ready, we'll hear that item. Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the first reading of the Bureau of Development Services new fee schedule for fiscal year 2011-12. And as you all know, the Bureau of Development Services has been hit hard by the recession. And this new fee schedule is key for the Bureau's financial recovery. We have subjected our fee schedule to review by the Small Business Advisory Council, the Development Review Advisory Committee, whose chair, Kerry Stanley, couldn't stick around. She was here earlier today. But we do have a letter from DRAC in support of these fees. And the fact that out of these conversations, we have come out with the current service levels that are being proposed and the fees to support those. We do not feel that we're adequately meeting customers' needs and that we are trying to overcome that by restoring positions as the fee climate improves. We also are, as you know, we're asking for some general fund assistance too in areas like housing inspectors. But it is important to note that the Bureau of Development Services has already implemented many efficiencies, streamlined essential services, and actually cut programs that were useful but not mandatory for the development process. So I'm going to now turn it over to the Director, Paul Scarlett, and Business Operations Manager, Denise Klein. Walk us through this further.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Sossman. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Paul Scarlett, Director for Bureau of Development Services. I am pleased to be in front of you to present on the Bureau's fee increase proposal. The Bureau of Development Services continues to promote and is eager to ensure that development is built safely. It contributes to the city's livability and economic vitality. Our challenge with our operation, which is predominantly funded through permit fees, continues. However, the fee proposal that's in front of you, we believe, is reasonable, it's realistic, and it does connect with relevant issues. There are some challenges that we continue to pursue, such as the fees will assist in continuing to assist us in meeting cost recovery and maintaining prudent reserves, and also to promote and ensure improved customer service, as well as to increase as much as we can efficiencies and effective programs. Historically, BDS has reached out, as Commissioner Sossman says, to industry partners and customers in collaborating on our operation, as well as dialoguing on the fees that are appropriate. I'm looking at Commissioner Leonard, who I have to give a lot of credit to in the 6 years that he was my commissioner and commissioner of the Bureau of Development Services, wherein we went extensively with our customers and reached out in dialoguing and talking through about what fees provided. And we have found over the years that our customers and industry partners are willing to pay the fees provided there is a direct correlation that the services are provided. Unfortunately, over the last 2 years, that balance hasn't been met. As you're aware, we're recession. We, unfortunately, less fees were brought in due to the economic downturn. However, the amount of work kept coming in at a disproportionate amount relative to the fees. So our service levels have been impacted. And in moving forward, we still have an eye on improving our service levels. The fees that are listed, which in general, 8% fee increase, in total, it's about $1.6 million that it will generate additionally to revenues for next year. Anticipated growth rate is another 3-4%, which will generate about $900,000. So $2.5 million additional to revenues that's in place this year. That will help bring back staff. And that's pretty key to improving the service levels. And in terms of what the breakdowns are and how the programs really lay out, we have, as Commissioner Salzman said, we have done a lot of work in streamlining our operation a lot, and certainly started with Commissioner Leonard and continuing with Commissioner Salzman, in whether it's bundling inspections, so we have efficiencies in reducing overtime, in pursuing technology as part of how to connect with our customers more efficiently, and our technology with pursuing Excella, which will allow for plans review and remotely and our inspectors to work more efficiently, that's something that's pretty key. We were here several months ago and borrowed money to allow us to operate and not be less, not have, to have cash on hand in case there's downturn on a daily or monthly basis. That's also part of what the fee increases will help us to do, is to pay back that obligation by the end of next fiscal year. So we're excited, definitely eager and optimistic that these fee increases will be approved. We have met with over 20 industry partners, either through letters or face-to-face meetings. Certainly not eager support, but there is understanding given the challenges that we have at the Bureau with providing services. Certainly there's internal inflation, salaries, benefits, whatnot, so we have to offset those costs. I will turn it over to Denise to talk a little bit more about some of the more specific program changes. Again, this is something that we rely on. We're an operating bureau. 90% of our operation is fee supported. another 10% is general fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Denise Klein, Bureau of Development Services, Business Operations Manager. So Paul gave, a very good overview of all the fees, and indeed 8% is the overall increase for most of our fees. The site development program and zoning enforcement program, however, are at 5% for the fee increase. The other thing that we have been doing over the past 2 years is really looking at the fee schedules themselves and looking within them to ensure that each permit comes closer to cost recovery. So in many cases, it's not necessarily an across-the-board increase on each and every fee line, but is quite dependent upon the cost recovery of each of those fees. So, for example, we have raised some of the lower fees in the building permit fee schedule because, frankly, those were not bringing in the revenues to support the work and the costs. We've met with quite a number of groups, and I did want to mention some of them. We think it's really important to work proactively with our customers and seek their input. So we meet with the plumbing industry and electrical industry and go line by line through the fee schedule. And in the past, they've had some really good ideas for adjustments to make that still bring in the revenue, but are, you know, very helpful for them too. We also met with the Portland Business Alliance, home builders, building owners and managers, Oregon Remodelers Association, Associated General Contractors, Northwest Sign Council. So there's over a dozen leaders in industry, in our construction industry, that we meet with and work with over time.
Thanks.
All right. Questions, comments, discussion from council? Anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Anyone wish to testify on this matter that did not sign up? All right. Thank you very much. This moves to a second reading next week. All right. That gets us to regular. Are we ready to discuss the 1%? Or we're still working on it?
Let's do the bump 468.
All right. Can you please read the title for 468?
Adopt budget adjustment recommendations and the supplemental budget for the fiscal year 2010-2011 spring supplemental budget process and make budget adjustments in various funds.
Good afternoon. Andrew Scott, Financial Planning. We had a bump. This is the spring bump. We had a bump work session last Tuesday where we went through a number of items, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, but the memo sort of spells out where the major additions and reductions and movements are in terms of the funds. I just want to note that between the work session and now, we did change the way we're portraying a couple things. So if you compare some of the reports from last week to this week, you may notice a difference, and I'm happy to explain any of those. But again, most of that's technical. The big issues here, again, we're setting aside a significant portion of the compensation set aside for next year's budget, and that also includes the creation of a retirement reserve for retirement payouts. There are some drawdowns on contingency, and then some carryover requests from various general fund bureaus, and then a number of non-general fund changes as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions on the bump that we didn't cover last week.
All right. According to Oregon State Budget Law, ORS 294.480, I open a hearing on the FY 10-11 spring supplemental budget. Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify?
No one signed up.
I hereby close the hearing on the winter supplemental budget. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Andrew, this has been a stellar bump process, and I appreciate all the time you've spent with us walking through the various components. I don't know that they've certified the results yet in Park Rose, but the bond measure was leading, and we can only hope that in approving 100,000 so that they can complete their ball field, we can add to what we hope is a banner day for our friends at Park Rose. Thanks to my colleagues. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Andrew, for your work on this budget adjustment. And Kezia Warner was particularly helpful both in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and in the Office of Human Relations, and I want to appreciate her I agree with Commissioner Commissioners Fish. That's really exciting.
Wait a second. You referred to as Fish, and I'm Fritz. Now you are referring to me as Leonard.
Well, you know, it's a compliment.
Leonard Fish.
Compliment. You're welcome.
$100,000.
Because two of us are bald, right? That's confusing.
Stop it! Stop interrupting me, please.
I apologize.
That's all right. The $100,000 for Park Rose High School will help them complete their soccer fields and is a sign that the City Council does care about Park Rose School District as well as about all of our other school districts. And I particularly appreciate Commissioner Fish's leadership on making sure that that got done. Aye.
Adams.
You can interrupt me now because I've interrupted you twice.
Aye.
Prevented that one. All right.
There's no chance for me to interrupt
you. I know.
You.
Sorry. We're not over yet, though. All right. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 492?
Extend special rates and charges for public works permitting services through fiscal year 2011-2012.
Related to the good workings of the Bureau of Transportation, I am pleased to welcome you to explain what we're working on, what we're looking at.
So, good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I was actually planning to have one of my managers do this presentation to give him exposure to council. So if he walks in, and that's not him, I'm doing the first one first.
Okay,
so opportune. So, what you have before you is a consideration to extend the restriction, the lifting of the restriction that we have on how we assess the public works permit fees. Code binds us into collecting the actual fees for services. A year and a half ago, we brought before you a request to lift that restriction and do something different. And we've got that in place. It expires at the end of this fiscal year. We would like to continue it because we have not had enough permit cases in to make a determination if we want to do this permanently or not. And basically, it's the 30-60-90 review process that we've been using, where we give an estimate at the 30% level of design, and at the permit stage, if the costs have exceeded that, the cost of the city's review, we don't require the applicants to submit any more money. If the estimate is such that it results in a below estimate, if it results in a cost refund to the applicant, we'll give that to them at permit issuance. So that's what we want to continue with for the next fiscal year.
Could you just remind me of your name and job title?
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm Christine Leon from the Bureau of Transportation, and I am the Development Services Street Systems Management Division Manager.
You deserve to have the credit for a lot of the great work that has been done on this project, and so I really appreciate you coming to tell us about it. And we did say that we were going to look at this annually to see whether it needed to be continued, so I appreciate you coming to give us that report.
Thank you.
Apparently, we have to do an amendment. Carla, did I hear you right, Carla?
Yes.
I need to do this amendment that you passed out. I don't see the mayor present. Is it?
Okay.
Oh, it's just adding more information in there.
Okay. So can we just move the amendment and adopt it? Can we just move the amendment and adopt it?
Oh, yeah, it's an emergency, so we should do this.
So I move that we amend the original ordinance that's just passed out to add the revenue paragraph, have more specific information.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
This is on the amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
That amendment becomes part of the main ordinance. That will be...
It's an emergency.
It's an emergency, so it'll be read, voted on today. Is there further discussion?
No one else signed up.
If not, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you again for all your good work. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. Passes. What's our next?
Your guess is as good
as mine. Wasn't keeping.
493.
493, can we do? Okay, 493.
Mm-hmm. Revised transportation fees, rates, and charges for fiscal year 2011-2012 and fix an effective date.
So do we have? Yes. Yeah. He's.
We have four.
We had four.
We had four. He's not present at the moment. I'm the presiding officer, and I've declared him not present. That helps. So this is the first reading, 493?
Yes.
Okay. And do we have somebody from PBOT?
Now I'm on cue. I'm Ron Giesen, Manager of Business Services with PBOT.
Gail Wallace, Financial Analyst.
Go ahead. We're on 493, Sam.
Thanks.
We're here to answer any questions you might have.
Major changes?
No, I don't think so. We have a very active Budget Advisory Committee who saw these fee increases and approved in January and February. Management and Finance has approved as well. We're very sensitive on the development services front to try to be client-oriented, and we have, as a result in this budget, put about $116,000 of additional resources into development services to try to keep those fees down. Parking fees are basically flat. We talked to you about the parking garages and that this was our intent, and we're honoring that. We have a pretty rigorous system of going through almost time and motion studies in terms of looking at what it costs to process permits, what the real cost is in terms of lost revenue on on-street parking slots. And so very modest fee increases on the development side. They're related primarily to cost of increases in salary and benefits. Most of the fees are flat, and on the other side, the result of these time and motion studies. So I think that there are minor increases, pretty flat, so there isn't anything that we necessarily want to draw your attention to.
All right, discussion from council.
So what you just said was no changes in the garage or meter parking fees.
That is correct.
Thank you.
All right. While I have you here, it was a surprise to some of us to read in a local media outlet that we had that there is less, quote, there's less for paving streets in the budget. And it was juxtaposition that that's because we boosted funding for bike projects. Now, when we put the budget together, I thought we actually increased motor vehicle projects by 120% of funding. Is that your understanding?
With the increased funding with House Bill 2001, projects for paving and motor vehicles did go up in absolute terms. Projects for bikes and PEDs also went up. So there are no dollars being slashed. It's a slight distribution of the extra revenue in House Bill 2001. That's right.
Great. I'm sure we'll see you on the front page of the paper tomorrow. Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you again.
Yes, thank you. All right. Moves to a second reading.
No one signed up.
Thank you. I just assumed. Since it's only employees in the office. Oh, no, and PERB folks.
Thank you for scoping you.
Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 496?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ron.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Local Government Personnel Institute for legal advice and consultation.
This is a very important thing that is of significant importance. Is there anyone on council that would like to ask me any question about it?
Which number is this, Mayor?
This is 496. Hearing none, does anyone wish to testify on 496? Moves to a second reading next week.
Mayor, I have a request.
Yes. Mercy request?
Yes, of course.
Director Van Vliet's been here four times today. Could we jump to 501 and 502 so she can...
Absolutely. Carla, can you please read items 501 and 502, emergency ordinances?
501, authorize the sale of 5 single-family houses located in the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Area to Rose Community Development Corporation and approve tax increment funding to benefit income-eligible first-time buyers. 502, authorize the sale of 6 single-family houses located in the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Area to AMSIS Development LLC and approve tax increment financing to benefit income-eligible first-time buyers.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. This is quite straightforward, but the distinguished director of the Housing Bureau, Margaret Van Vliet, will just give us a brief overview on each item. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and commissioners. So 501 and 502 are similar to an item considered by you a few weeks ago where we sold homes in the interstate URA to another development company. So we're selling 5 homes in Lentz to Rose CDC and 6 homes in Lentz to Amethyst Development. These were single-family homes that were purchased as part of the way to meet the home ownership goals under the 30% set-aside. Once they came into our possession at PHB, we worked through a competitive process and offered them for sale. And so we've got proposals from these development companies. The financing's explained in detail in the staff reports. In short, what we're doing is we're providing 100% acquisition financing, which will be repaid into the URA budget when the homes are sold by the developers. In addition, we're providing funds for renovation and development expenses, averaging $61,000 per house. That amount will be forgiven when the homes are sold to eligible buyers in order to make them affordable. Final sales prices for the renovated homes, we believe, will be in the area of $130,000. Some will be higher and some will be lower, of course. The only other thing I would highlight for you is that both of these development companies have made a strong commitment to contracting with minority-owned firms, and we fully expect them to well exceed our policy goals for minority contracting. And both also have made a commitment to selling the homes, affirmatively marketing them to families of color in the Lentz neighborhood in which they reside. So we're feeling good about the prospects here, and we'll recycle some of our investment. So, questions?
Just a friendly suggestion. Clean Energy Works, which is a council-created effort that does the, I don't know that they'll qualify, but...
Yes.
Does the analysis and offers on-bill financing.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll take a look at that.
Thank you. Great suggestion.
Any additional council discussion? Anyone wish to testify on 501 or 502? Carla, can you please call the vote on both?
501. Fish?
The Portland Housing Bureau has put equity at the heart of its mission. And on the home ownership side, we have the goal of making the dream of home ownership accessible to people in our community, particularly first-time homeowners. And we've also developed a plan to tackle what we call the minority home ownership gap. That is the gap between rates of home ownership in the minority communities and in the white community. These properties were acquired by the Portland Development Commission and were transferred to the Portland Housing Bureau. In conformity with our policies, Margaret and her team have found what they believe is the best way to meet our Bureau goals by transferring them to trusted nonprofit partners. I'm sorry that Nick Sovey from Rose is not here today to join us, but this, I believe, is good for the Lentz area, a wise use of taxpayer money, and meets the goals that this council has set. Margaret, thank you for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Director Van Vliet. Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Director Van Vliet. Really great work in a perfect part of town. Aye.
502, Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Good job again. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. It's approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 497?
Did we do 496?
Yes.
Okay.
It moved on to second reading, yep.
497.
It was a fierce debate.
Did we do 495?
We did 495 this morning.
Okay.
497, authorize a borrowing in an amount sufficient to produce not more than $26,799,000 in anticipation of the fire and police disability and retirement fund levy for fiscal year 2011-2012.
Commissioner.
We'll turn this over to staff.
Commissioner Sasser.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Jonas Beery, the city's debt manager in the Office of Management and Finance. The ordinance before you is something that council sees every year around this time. It's an emergency ordinance that authorizes around $27 million of short-term tax anticipation notes that will bridge an annual cash flow deficit for the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. FPD&R receives primary funding once a year in November from property tax receipts from the voter-approved FPD&R levy. Proceeds from that levy may be spent throughout the remaining fiscal year, which leads to an annual funding gap beginning July 1 until proceeds of the next levy come in November. The notes will be secured by the revenues from that upcoming November levy. The proposed borrowing will be repaid in no more than 13 months. Typically, it's repaid on June 30th, the last day of the fiscal year. One other note is that this is a rare instance where the federal government actually allows the city to keep all of the earnings that we retain on the bonds, so that does offset some of the borrowing costs.
Excuse me, you indicated it was an emergency ordinance?
I'm sorry, this is not an emergency ordinance. No. I'm sorry, this is an emergency ordinance. It should be.
Does it need to be an emergency ordinance?
I believe it's intended to be an emergency ordinance.
Why?
Stacey.
Is there any reason?
Did you introduce yourself?
Yes.
For the record.
For the record, oops, I can stand in my chair. Stacey Jones with Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund, financial analyst. I don't believe it needs to be an emergency, does it? We're not.
From a timing perspective, we anticipate issuance in early July, mm-hmm. and we would typically have council approval prior to posting the disclosure document, which will be mid to late June. Non-emergency second reading.
So we should add an emergency.
If it could be done as emergency, I think that would accommodate the schedule.
You want to make a motion?
I move that we add an emergency clause to
second
item 497.
Okay. And moved and seconded. Is there council discussion on the motion?
I think the reason is so that there can be timely distribution of the funds for the FPD&R retirees.
So to meet.
And disabled.
To meet statutory deadlines. Requirements.
I'm just disappointed because I was going to commend you for it not being an emergency ordinance, because it does come every year and you have the time, but I'm willing to support it if you think that's important.
Our intention was originally to bring it earlier in the calendar, but we had trouble getting
we'll try
it
try again next year.
All right. Would you please call the vote on the motion to apply an emergency clause to this ordinance?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. Please continue.
Great. Thank you. Finally, as I mentioned, we anticipate the bond sale will occur in early July of 2011. It will be sold via a competitive bidding process, as is typical. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on what is now an emergency ordinance item number 497? Carla, would you please call the vote on 497?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work and for clarifying. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 497 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 498?
Authorize additional revenue bonds for urban renewal areas.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Once again, my name is Jonas Berry, debt manager. The ordinance now before you presents an adjustment to a previously approved ordinance. This is a non-emergency ordinance, subject to a second reading and subject to the requirements of ORS 287A150 for revenue bonds. Council previously approved Ordinance 184212 in November 2010. That ordinance authorized a total not to exceed borrowing amount of $315.5 million for seven urban renewal areas. Ordinance 184212 also identified specific borrowing maximums allocated to each of those urban renewal areas. The ordinance before you today preserves the combined not to exceed borrowing amount of $315.5 million, but increases specific borrowing authority allocated to two urban renewal areas, Central East Side and Oregon Convention Center. As you probably remember, the city typically utilizes for urban renewal financings initially funding through a line of credit that's backed by city's full faith and credit. Converting those to long-term bonds once the balance is sufficient to justify a long-term bond issuance. Those long-term bonds are funded by tax increment revenues. This ordinance, along with the prior ordinance 184212, authorizes both the line of credit and the long-term takeout bonds. The proposed increases reflect adjustments to the project plans within the Central East Side and Oregon Convention Center URAs. This ordinance does not address specific project expenditures, which are or will be approved through the budget process, but authorizes the mechanism to fund approved projects. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I apologize, we did intend to have PDC staff available, but they were not able to be here quite this late in the day.
So this doesn't change the cap?
Correct. The cap remains at 315.5.
So which funds are going down if these two are going up?
Well, what we've intended is that by not identifying a specific URA subject to the reduction, that provides flexibility to make those adjustments through project planning and budget cycles without limiting upfront a specific URA.
How will that decision be made?
Well, it's made two ways. First, through the authorization of the total authority and through conversations with PDC. Many of the $315 million, there's a significant balance outstanding. And I should say we've identified, working with PDC, where we believe the reduction will come from. But the intention was that we not limit that through an authorization and maintain the flexibility as project plans continue to be modified over the remaining use of this authority.
So I'd like some more information on that before we vote next week, just
okay,
so that I get more comfortable that we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, to taking one from one to another. Where are you thinking you have extra capacity that you're not going to be using?
Great. We can provide that specifically. And I can tell you that there are a couple of districts that have a very, very large amount originally authorized by the original ordinance. For example, River District had $92 million. We have not used very much of that to date. And there are a couple of others that have a lot of remaining capacity. So there is much capacity available to be used. We'll provide you with the specifics before next week.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on 498? All right. Moves to second reading next week.
Thanks.
Can you please read the title for our third to the last item, and that is 499.
Approve cost of living adjustments to pay rates for non-represented classifications and elected officials effective July 1, 2011. Specify the effect upon employees in the classifications involved and provide for payment.
David Reese, Class and Comp Manager from the Bureau of Human Resources.
Sorry to keep you waiting all day.
Not a problem. This is the ordinance, once approved by the council, would increase the rates and ranges for non-represented and elected officials in a manner similar to those of our represented employees. All of the contracts currently in force have a 1.2% cost of living increase associated with it. This would make that same adjustment for the listed classifications for non-represented and for elected officials. The money for this is in the compensation contingency in non-general fund bureaus, and for general fund bureaus, it's in the general fund set aside. I'm here for your questions.
So I won't be taking my cost of living increase. Does it provide for that?
It has the flexibility for the mayor and for the commissioners to forego their cost of living increase. What we will do once this is passed is send each of you a email saying that if you wish to forego it, you can notify us. Otherwise, the cost of living increase would occur for each of the elected officials, mayor and commissioners. So that's one of the provisions that has been traditionally in this ordinance.
I won't be taking mine either. I did note somewhat to my chagrin that even if I took it, I still wouldn't be making as much per hour as I was making at OHSU after 27 years in nursing.
Your word is gold, but we will still write you and we will still need something written back from you in order for you to forego it.
Okay.
I thought the cost of living adjustment was 1%.
1.2% is the cost of living CPI that was used. It is a Portland area CPI W for a half-year index, and it's the one that's found in all of our contracts.
The one that's in our contracts?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought it was 1%.
It was a floor of one.
Right.
So I would just like to point out to my colleagues that you're in essence donating your salary increase to the city. If you're to accept your salary increase and then donate that same amount to your favorite charity, it would have the same effect, except that you could direct money precisely to a charity of your choice.
All right. Any other council discussion? Then this moves to a second reading. Anyone wish to testify on this matter? And it moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 503?
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
This is our regular sidewalk repair ordinance. I think we have outlasted PBOT staff on this matter. Does anyone wish to testify on 503? Any council discussion on 503?
No one signed up.
Moves to second reading next week. That gets us back to our rate ordinances, which are 565 and 566. And whether or not, so, yes, Mr. Scott.
465 and 466?
Correct.
Okay.
First reading.
No.
And legal-wise, we would need to amend water to change it from the 12.9. And we have to make a decision on whether, based on our earlier motion, whether it's 5.5 or 6 for sewer. So would you come up with?
I guess we were instructed to come back, or OMF was instructed to come back with what a 5.5% rate cut would look like versus the 6%.
That's what I just said. And that's what they're doing.
Okay. Well, I'd like to speak to it before when they're done.
Well, I want to have them present before you speak. So,
okay. Go ahead. Andrew Scott, Financial Planning Division. You have two handouts coming to you. One is a Portland Water and BES proposed rate reductions. It's a comparison to hopefully clarify sort of the conversation. And then the second is the FY 2011-12 potential cuts to BES to get to a 5.5% rate increase. So I'll first start with the water and BES proposed rate reductions. And again, what we're trying to do here is just make sure that everyone's on the same page in terms of what we're talking about. You can see at the very top there, the Bureau requested budgets. Water requested a 13.9% rate increase. BES requested a 6.5% increase, and combined, it's 8.8.
I'm sorry, I'm already lost. So you're working off this sheet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. So the very top line there. So the combined requested rate increase for both bureaus was 8.8%. Okay. The mayor's proposed budget, he proposed a 1% rate cut for each bureau. And so what we give there is the rate, but we also give the dollars, because I think in some ways when we're talking about rates, the impact to BES and water is different given the size of their budget when we're talking about percentages. So we're going to talk a little bit more about dollars than we are percentages. But the mayor's proposed budget had 12.9% and 5.5%. For water, they got to the 12.9. They took a net reduction of 600,000. Now, they had a gross reduction of $1 million. But, again, 400,000 of that was a reduction in their interagency payment between water and BES. BES then had, in the proposed budget, a 5.5% rate increase, and they would need to take $3.1 million of cuts in order to achieve that. And you can see in the combined, it would take the combined rate to 7.8% and at $3.7 million in total reductions between the two utilities. What we've listed below the mayor's proposed are two alternatives. Alternative A would ask water to essentially take back that $450,000. You'll note the numbers here are rounded. And so that's why we're getting some even numbers. So, but it would ask water to take that back, and then it would ask, and BES would take a $2.7 million reduction. Alternative B, which is what financial planning is recommending, would for 1 year split the difference of those fountain discharge fees. Again, it would have water would need to increase their cuts a little bit to get to about 800,000. BES would need to cut about 2.9 million. Again, keeping that $3.7 million constant. To meet the mayor's proposed budget reduction target. Now, since then, I also, on the $450,000, it was explained to me that of that cost, $100,000 is actually being saved by turning off the Benson bubblers for more times during the year. So that's actually a reduced water discharge cost. So really the cost that I think will be split between water and BES would be the net. It's approximately $350,000. So it would be roughly $175,000 each. So again, we're using really round numbers here just to illustrate. But what we'd be asking is water to find an additional $175,000, BES to find $175,000 above the $2.7 million. And again, that gets us to that $3.7 combined.
Why isn't there a proposal to...
I want to speak to this a little bit. So in 06, BES started charging water for the discharge of the unused water from the Benson bubblers. And so BES recognizes that there's a certain principle of fairness in one or the other not paying paying their appropriate for the appropriate services rendered for both the decorative fountains and for the BES bubblers. So that's what I'm trying to accomplish here, is just a certain amount of parity.
My question, though, is if we're trying to reduce the rates to the ratepayer, they don't necessarily care whether it's BES or water who's paying for the bubbler discharge. The proposed 12.9% cut, you know, I agree with the principle of fairness, but the 12.9% cut isn't a full 1% cut for the ratepayers. So why isn't there an option that specifies what
well,
that
would it is,
look like?
And I'll just point out what we're showing here are net dollar cuts, so not the sort of gross cuts. So again, for the Water Bureau to go from 13.9 to 12.9, they need to reduce their expenses by approximately $1 million. They have done that in terms of in the mayor's proposed budget. Reducing it by $1 million. What we're trying to illustrate here is 400,000 of that, as you mentioned, was just a transfer between the two bureaus, and which doesn't have an impact on the ratepayers. So in order to get that full joint 1% reduction to the ratepayers, we need this total of $3.7 million in net reductions between the two bureaus. So what we're trying to do with this is just illustrate that a little bit more clearly in terms of the conversation.
The 1%.
I'm not sure we've succeeded.
So I know it's a long day and we've, but the 1% then you're describing is from 8.8 combined to 7.8, and it impacts water and sewer differently and proportionally.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right.
But it impacts sewer worse.
Well, and sewer is sewer is the larger portion of the bill. So again, the 3.7 million reduction.
Remember, it's increases on a much higher bill in sewer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to impact. Plus or minus, it's always going to be more amplified than the water. So when we hear the 85% increase in water bills, it's a different numerical amount than if we were to do 85% on the sewer bills. Okay.
So, well, I'd like to speak to this. I guess I'm going to, I appreciate, you know, talking about maybe divvying up the drainage charge from the Benson bubblers differently. I'm still going to stand by my recommendation of a 6% rate increase for BES. And I'm doing that for two reasons. First of all, We took a good hard look. I, as commissioner in charge, took a good hard look at BES's budget and came up with the $1.4 million in cuts to get us to a 6% rate cut from our 6% rate increase from 6.5%. I can hand out you the chart. There's no Washington monuments in there or anything like that. It's good, solid cuts to the BES budget. Secondly, as you heard earlier today from Bob Salinger and also from the Portland Utility Review Board, they did endorse and they scrutinized the proposed budget and the proposed rate increase of 6.5% for BES, and they both endorsed that. And I think what's happened today has been sort of a total on the fly from, you know, 10 minutes to 9 this morning. Financial planning has been looking at external materials and services and coming up with, I would argue, more or less arbitrary recommendations to meet an additional 5% rate reduction. And I don't think that's a process that has a lot of integrity to it. That's not how we should be doing things, just as we didn't amend the water rates on the fly earlier this afternoon when we had a hearing on that. And we heard David Schaff say he wasn't quite sure how that would affect rates, but it would affect rates if we made certain changes. So I think that we need to stick with the recommendation that I am putting forward of a 6% rate increase. It's lower than 6.5%. It honors the integrity of the PIRB and our BES Advisory Committee, and it avoids what I think is sort of rate making on the fly, which I think is emblematic of where we are at this point in the day. So I would urge sticking with the original ordinance, 6%.
Well, I'm going to respect.
I just did need to be clear about what David was reacting to, which was what, and we're all tired and it's been a long day. What David reacting to was literally new information today about making a cut. Commissioner Saltzman, you and I received the mayor's direction the same day to take the 1% cut. I was as unhappy as you were, and I understand why. I mean, you do run a tight ship. I believe the Water Bureau does an equally impressive job with its charge and how it oversees its expenditures, but we were both given the same amount of time to come up with the package that I came up with. I'm not, Andrew, thrilled with your proposal today, but in the interest of compromise and hopefully bringing us all together around this, I'm willing to accept back some of those charges that BES charges us in the discharge and hopefully finding some common ground here. And I hope that Commissioner Saltzman,
well,
can consider that.
Yeah, I would point out the difference.
I haven't recognized you. I'm going to speak to what you just said. We have asked for additional information from the Bureau of Environmental Services throughout the process of putting together the mayor's proposed budget. It has been difficult to get the information we requested from your bureau. And I do think that asking for cuts out of travel, printing and postage, PT contracts, and the $6.1 million miscellaneous service line items is a higher priority. I think those cuts are more worthy than the additional increase in the rates. So it's okay that we have a honest disagreement. It is absolutely my prerogative as mayor to take all the recommendations, including yours and the PIRB and the Bureau Advisory Council and your bureaus, and come up with my proposed. So you're welcome to vote against it, but I don't think sort of casting aspersions on it is necessarily helpful. We have tried to get better information from your bureau, and we have not succeeded to the degree I would like, and I think that is a major contribution to having to do this today.
Well, if I may speak in response to both Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams. Commissioner Leonard, I mean, your original way to achieve your 1% cut was to shift $450,000 in the drainage fees to Bureau of Environmental Services. And, we didn't object to that. The only difference is we found out 2 minutes ago that all of a sudden that's no longer an obligation that we carry, whereas you knew about it over a couple weeks ago. And secondly, I think that
I understand.
I don't understand that either.
Well, up until this point, we've been looking at a $1.4 million cut plus an ongoing revenue reduction of $450,000. So you made, in essence, a 0.5% cut to water. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. I guess more to the point, though, is coming at the last minute and looking at travel, miscellaneous expenditures, PTE contracts, and to characterize my office, not just the Bureau, as not being cooperative, I think is, as I said, that lacks integrity. We filed this rate ordinance over a week ago. We have talked to OMF in several discussions.